The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So in this mindfulness tradition, and often in Buddhist traditions in general, there's a big emphasis on being in the present moment, being here and now. And it's quite common to notice, if you're meditating, how often the mind is in the future and the past. And the idea is to come back into the present, come back into the present. And there's a big training in that. But in that emphasis, which is often a useful corrective to how the mind often works, people can get the idea that all you're ever supposed to do is be in the present moment, focusing on the present moment, without ever any thought about the future or the past, any direction, any consideration of it. But I think that a life that doesn't include memories of the past, what happened, and ideas, projections of what the future will be, is a very limited life. If you're only in the present moment, all the time, I think it's a pretty limited life. It's not really a human life. Human lives include past and future to some degree. And you can kind of see it. There was a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon many years ago. Calvin and Hobbes are climbing a tree together, these little cartoon characters, and they're up and climbing out on the limb, and Calvin says to Hobbes something like, you know, it's just wonderful to be so fully in the present moment, enjoying this time and place, and everyone should do this. This is really a rich and wonderful way of living a life. And Calvin says, yes, but you are supposed to be at school right now. You know, so, or the story, you know, I've had my kids, you know, when they were small, if you listen to a Vipassana teacher, it seems like they're just doing this practice just right. You know, they're walking out of the house, they see the flowers on the side of the house, and they're fascinated by the flowers or the ants, and they're really in the present moment looking at the flowers, looking at the ants. I mean, there's nothing else in the world. They're completely there. Sometimes I wish on retreat I was that present for something. You know, nothing else is going on for them. You know, I'm trying to teach people to do this, right? But we're going to be late for school. School's starting in 10 minutes. This is not the time to sit fully, completely engaged in the ants on the sidewalk. This is the time to get in the car and go to school. And so there has to be some idea of the bigger context of our life. And so the bigger context of our life often has to do with things in the future. 10 minutes, school starts in 10 minutes. We have to take that into account. And what happened in the past also is important. Some people focus a lot on the past. And one of the big things that weigh people down is feeling really bad about the past. What they've said in the past, what they've done in the past, what's occurred. And there's always backward looking into the past and just pulling ourselves down, feeling depressed and upset or angry, ashamed of what's happened in the past. Ethical problems people have done, mistakes, conflicts, all kinds of things. And some people, it's a tremendous wind drag, pulling them down, slowing them down, to be fixated on the past and what happened. As I understand, kind of the Buddhist approach, or a wise approach, is that we are just backward looking enough where we learn from our mistakes, we learn from what happened in the past. But the primary focus is forward looking, not backward looking. We don't ignore the past, we learn from it, but then we set the intention to learn from it and do better in the future. So, the first time I got a sense of this was when I was a cook in the monastery. And it was great, you know, we made all these meals. Sometimes we were making 6 meals a day. And for different groups. And it was great to fail at making the meals, you know, to make a meal that somehow didn't come out right. Because a meal was kind of distinct. It was like your meal was done, and you come to the kitchen to work in the kitchen the next time, next meal, you got to start all over again. It's a whole new meal. The burnt rice, you know, you didn't bring it with you into the next meal. For, you know, that was then, and now is now. So the idea that, oh, you could make a mistake, you could do something, you know, fail at making the meal in some way, and then you could look back and say, okay, I get to do it again. I get to try again. And every day morning I'd wake up to go to the kitchen, the monastery, where I had this feeling, great, I get to try again. Lucky me, as opposed to, oh no. You know, I made this horrible meal yesterday and everyone in the monastery must hate me. And you know, this is like, you know, and I'm sure I'll do a really lousy job again, and I'm just a failure as a cook, and I wish they would assign me someplace else in the monastery. And, you know, that's kind of being weighed down by the past. But to say, oh, look at that. Yesterday I didn't do so good a job. This is what I did wrong. I get to try again. Let's see if I can do better next time. So the idea is to be forward-looking. How can I do better? So having an intention or a vision of what's possible is a very important part of practice. It's possible to get too caught up in the future and what's going to happen and planning and, you know, I've had wonderful, inspired, energizing, uplifting plans about the superhuman Buddhist practice I was going to engage in. It's kind of embarrassing, some of the things I've thought of, you know. You know, and I'm going to get up every morning at 2 o'clock and I'll do this and that. And by the time everybody else gets up, I'll have done, you know, all these different practices and stuff. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the mind has no, whatever, perspective. But, you know, so it's possible to get too caught up and lost in planning and, you know, everything. But so that's a problem. But luckily we have the past and the future. Luckily we make a lot of mistakes. And we can learn from that, and in some ways be inspired by it, and to feel that you're on a path of development, of growth, movement towards freedom. And so in Buddhist practice, it's useful to use the past, to remember the past, to look at what our situation is like, to review it sometimes, to consider it, just to the extent that we can learn from it and be inspired to try to do better, or to help set a better direction, or to understand what we have to work on. Not so much that it pulls us down and discourages us and blocks our path, but in just enough so that it sets the direction and we understand better what we have to work on and we can commit ourselves to do better. If you only look towards the future and ignore the mistakes you have, then it's also sometimes unrealistic. Then it becomes maybe kind of Pollyannish, or it becomes, you know, it's important to be weighed down a little bit, not float away, but it's important not to be so weighed down that you can't go forward in the practice. So there's wonderful balance between finding our way between being in the present moment at times, remembering the past, what happened, and then see what we can do better in the future. So this morning, you've been here practicing, meditating, and you could be so much in the present moment that when you leave here, you just go on to the next thing and completely forget what happened here this morning, which is okay. But another approach to practicing like this is at the end of a practice session is to spend a little bit of time remembering what happened there. Consider it. Consider how it went. Consider how you practiced, what came up in your practice. Consider, for example, you know, how was that? You know, we had a walking meditation period. How was the walking meditation period for me? Well, actually, now that I think about it, I didn't really use the walking meditation period. I went and had some tea. I went to the bathroom. I went for a walk around the block. Then I thought I'd have some more tea. And then I thought I should do some walking meditation, you know, I should get serious about this stuff. But then they rang the bell to come and sit. And then you realize that's how you did it. And you realize, you know, that was fine, pleasant enough, but I think that I didn't really avail myself of the opportunity to really engage in the walking meditation. Or to review, maybe you did use the walking meditation the whole 45 minutes, but you realize when you look back at it that you were too complacent. You let yourself, the mind, wander off too much into thinking. And by reviewing, sometimes you see better what's happened than if you stay in the moment. And then, having reviewed it, you can say, well, next time I come to a Wednesday morning at IMC, I'm going to do the full walking period. Or when I do the walking period, I'm going to try to remind myself to come back and be present more often. I'm going to try to do a better job next time. Not to be a super practitioner, but to try to do better. So there's a way of using the past, reviewing it, that helps us set the course for the future. And that can help us in this practice. And the emphasis in Buddhism, I would say, the balance is to be forward-looking rather than backward-looking. But just look back enough, just enough to learn. And then be forward enough to set the course and know how to go. And then do it by being fully in the present moment. And over the course of a day or time, the mind will appropriately go and review these three different times. Sometimes we're here in the present, that's what the name of the game is. Sometimes we review the past, and that's helpful. And sometimes we consider the future. And being wise about how to do those three periods of time at different times is part of, I think, a well-balanced life, practice life. So thank you. Thank you for coming.